Welcome back to In the Moment. Following the success of the Music Unwound program Dvorak and America last season, the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra presents a program this weekend focusing on the relationship between Aaron Copland and the dynamic Mexican composer Sylvester Ruelas. Both programs were developed by musicologist Joseph Horowitz. The Copland in Mexico concert this weekend includes lecture, demonstration, and visual elements, and live performance of the original score that Ruelas wrote to accompany the film Redis. South Dakota Symphony conductor and music director David Geyer invited Joseph Horowitz into our studios to talk about the music program, the visual elements, and the story of Copland in Mexico.
The concert we're doing this weekend, Copland in Mexico, has a theme, which is that when Copland went to Mexico in the 1930s, it changed his life, and he acquired a more political vocation as an artist. And the thesis is, what we do is we compare Copland to a Mexican composer, Ruelas, who was political from the get-go, and is a born populist rather than a made populist. You can extrapolate any thesis you want from that. The thesis I extrapolate has to do with what is possible in Mexico and not in the United States in the realm of political art.
So before we dive more deeply into Copland in Mexico, I should mention that our first foray into Music Unwound was Dvorak in America, and one of the things I do appreciate is that that you're flexible, and we can adapt to the programs that we have, that you bring us to our own needs to match our own community. So with Dvorak in America, which explores the topic of Jeanette Thurber bringing Dvorak here to help us find our American voice, compositional voice. You explore the African-American and Native American influences on Dvorak's New World Symphony, and we were able to bring part of our Lakota music project into that process, and I thought a very interesting exploration of cultural appropriation versus cultural misappropriation, and the idea that Dvorak was of the camp of actually coming in contact with this culture, Native American culture, and wanting to honor it in a way to incorporate it into his works, right?
It was a real learning experience. We all learned what Dvorak did was potentially controversial. He was greatly influenced by the Song of Hiawatha by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. He was greatly influenced by Plantation Song. And he felt that these were ingredients that American composers should be using. And so he appropriated them in ways that were plausible in the late 19th century, but would be less so today. And to appreciate what he did requires an act of contextualization. And we, I think, succeeded in contextualizing what he did, and by way of contextualizing it, discovering that he was in fact a great humanitarian.
Indeed.
Somebody from whom we can all draw instruction and inspiration. When he famously and controversially predicted that, quote, Negro melodies would be the fundament of American music, that was in 1893, a lot of people made fun of him and thought he was naive. A, he was correct, because our music is black. And B, his naivete about classical music was naivete about the human condition and the American experience. He simply could not absorb how high the racial barriers are in this country and how poisoned the American experience is by the legacy of slavery. He was from Bohemia, so he had a sanguine view, and it just didn't occur to him that black culture and black musicians would have such a hard time.
So now we come to the program that we're currently involved with, Copeland in Mexico. It has to do with Copeland to some degree, but it's really mostly about Revueltas.
Right? It is.
You know, it's a name that is not a household one outside of Mexico, anywhere outside of Mexico.
Yeah, here's a major 20th century composer, I would say a greater composer than Aaron Copland, who's barely known because he's Mexican.
Yeah.
He's not known because he's Mexican.
Yeah. It's a wonderful program. It has so many elements, and this really was driven home to me as I was standing in the midst of a middle school classroom at Memorial Middle School, and they have two social studies classes that are doing 2-month-long projects around this program. Between Copland and his flirtations with the Communist Party, and Revueltas and his involvement or inspiration coming out of the Mexican Revolution and relationships with Diego Rivera and Orozco and all of this, at the end of it, the kids were they just seemed like they were kind of reeling. I said, "No, you just take it. Just choose your angle. It could be history. It could be politics. It can be music. It can be film. It can be art, visual art. Wherever you want to take this, yeah. And the teachers, of course, were ecstatic. There's a lot of
evidence. We deal with all of those ingredients in this program.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and the program itself, we have the music, obviously, but we also have visuals happening. On the first half to help illustrate the sort of lecture demonstration part of the program. We have a dramatic interruption.
Well, that's a secret.
That's a secret, yes, right. And the second half is a film.
Yeah, the second half is a film with live music.
Yeah, so tell us about Redes.
This guy, Revueltas, scored 11 films. The most important is Redes, which means nets, 1935. The cinematographer is Paul Strand, who was, I guess, the most eminent American art photographer of his generation. And it's the story of rebellious fishermen. I would say it's one of the highest achievements in the history of film in marrying music and the moving image.
Mm-hmm.
The peak sequences, of which there are three, are shot silent and are amazing illustrations of how film and music can dialectically interact in a way that neither accompanies the other. Each is the main event.
Mm-hmm.
So these sequences are the funeral of a child, the sequence in which the fish come in, and the sequence at the end, which I won't spoil by describing. It's rare to have such an even-handed exchange between music and film.
Well, it's quite an achievement. I get in this conversation with some regularity about film scores and why aren't film scores more a part of our regular diet as a symphony orchestra, as an art form in and of itself. And what I'll explain to from my standpoint as a music director is, yes, the music is very pleasing. But in order for a composer like John Williams to write a piece of music that develops and takes on a life of its own, it would actually be in competition with the story on the screen. So it's almost it inherently needs these 90-second to 3-minute segments of music in order to underscore the drama of what's happening on the screen. Now, we're not talking about art films here. We're talking about Hollywood films. But this competition between telling a story in music versus telling the story in film. The exception, as you already pointed out, is that the music and the film seem to go on two simultaneous tracks.
Right. And the music maintains its autonomy.
It does.
What you have is a symphonic score with leitmotifs that's a very sophisticated musical tapestry.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, I don't know anything else like it. Yeah. It's, I don't know his other films that he scored or any of that, but just having now lived with this film Redes for quite a while, I'm
struggling to think of something like it too.
No, really.
I'm not coming up with any answers.
Yeah, absolutely.
The fact that he began composing the music before he'd seen any of the film, it speaks for itself.
Well,
he took the scenario and began composing music, and Paul Strand objected. He said, how can you possibly do this? You haven't seen any of the film that I've shot. But Revueltas wanted the music to have its own autonomous identity.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. It's very powerful, the story itself. The film itself is a metaphor for the Mexican Revolution. It's
unfinished.
Right, and that you have—
As is the Mexican Revolution.
And these fishermen metaphorically being caught in the net of the magistrates of the town and the difference between the rich and the poor in this fishing village.
The metaphor of nets is incredibly embroidered in this film, visually and musically.
Mm-hmm.
Men and fish trapped in nets. And yet, ultimately, the film makes a beautiful and inspirational statement about Mexico and the resilience and stoicism of these poor Mexican fishermen in Veracruz.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It rises to epic heights.
It does.
The peak moments in Redes are indescribable.
Well, I'm just thinking about the dual track nature of the film, and just think of the funeral sequence in and of itself.
Yeah.
You have a child
that
has died because of the poverty of the protagonist.
Right.
And just this image of this rural funeral procession and this young family burying this child in a tiny casket. And if you had no music at all, that it would be immensely moving.
The photography is extraordinary in this sequence.
Yeah. But the music in itself, I mean, you could take the music away and just...
It's a great dirge.
Yeah, the pathos is evident in the music.
Absolutely.
You know, even if you had no idea.
Oh, sure.
What this was. It's just, it's stinging.
What it does is it kind of universalizes the event of this funeral, don't you think?
Yeah.
It makes it into something bigger than it would otherwise seem.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it's followed by this sequence of fishing.
Yeah.
Which is
also epic.
Right, it's joyous. It has so much energy to it, but then underneath that joyousness there's this tinge of dissonance, which to me represents the fact that all is not really well.
They're all ensnared. The men are ensnared. The fish are ensnared.
Yeah.
It's also a kind of nature versus man tableau.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the movie is always operating on multiple levels.
Yeah.
And the music speaks to that.
Yeah. Well, thank you for speaking with me, Joe.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, David.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's Maestro Delta David Geyer with Joseph Horowitz, author, music critic, and producer on the Copeland in Mexico. The program presented by the South Dakota Symphony in concert this Saturday evening and Sunday afternoon at the Washington Pavilion in Sioux Falls.